the fact that you choreographed for Beyonce.
Period.
Period. The Renaissance tour.
Teaching her my steps so that she can perform it on a world tour.
The moment that I saw that you choreographed Beyonce, instantly I felt like, I don't belong in her class.
A lot of dancers judge themselves so hard that they're scared to pursue it.
The epitome of operating in your gift.
You're getting paid to do something that you love and you've never seen anybody in your family do it. I just was confident.
At this point, like, oh my God, I've made it.
I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Welcome to another episode of Full Transparency with Donnie, where I talk to entrepreneurs who are doing a lot of entrepreneuring, and we get down to the nitty gritty of all the amazing things that they're doing. And I want to clarify for my new audience that may be watching us for the very first time, Full Transparency is a platform where I share conversations that I would have with these guests as if there were no cameras around. So more conversation, less interview, because we want to give you a transparent perspective. And today I'm about to get all in the business of our guest. She is a choreographer. She actually is an entrepreneur. She coaches entrepreneurs in business development. She helps people break into the entertainment industry. Let's welcome Tia Rivera to Full Transparency.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here all the way from LA.
Okay.
Yes, I'm super excited. First of all, let me start off by saying, a couple of months ago, you were in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I caught wind that you were going to be here, and I DM'd you like, Tia, I need to be in one of your dance classes. And you broke me out of, me and my friend, out of our shell of doing like this super sexy dance routine. And I'm sure my video editors are going to find it and insert it somewhere.
Okay, and if they can't find it, I got it.
I love that so much. So let's talk about your career, first of all, as a choreographer. You have choreographed for some super A-list celebrities.
Yes.
Beyonce.
Yes.
Meg Thee Stallion.
Yes.
Doja Cat.
Yes.
Ooh. Color Purple.
Yes.
Color Purple. How'd you get started?
I started as a dancer.
Okay.
So I started dancing when I was 17. So, and for me, I feel like that's late in the game. Mm-hmm. When I started dancing, it was my last year of high school. Mm-hmm. And if I could be honest, it's something that I didn't think would be a profession. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a very traditional Latina household. Like, I was going to go to college, actually major in psychology, minor in dance. I always liked to dance. But my last year of high school, I joined a dance team and I started to take some dance classes. And that's how I started. I started as a dancer. And then I started to work pretty soon after I started dancing. So I went to college for one semester and then I booked this tour right after Michael Jackson had died. It was a Michael Jackson tribute tour. So I had a decision to make. I was either going to stay in school, and my major was psychology and my minor was dance, or I was gonna try this thing that I didn't see anybody in my family do. Everybody in my family had a traditional job. No one pursued entertainment or had a business, entrepreneurship, but my parents were in full support. So I left school, semester in, and then the rest was history. Like, after that, I got signed to my dance agency. Soon after that, I worked with Beyonce for the first time. Mm-hmm. As a dancer, though, I did her Run the World music video. And then, yeah, I moved to LA at 22 from New York, because I'm from New York. Mm-hmm. So I moved to LA at 22 years old. And then when I was 2016 is when I transitioned to choreography. Mm-hmm. I had done everything I wanted to do as a dancer.
Wait, so in school, mm-hmm. you were this fantastic dancer. I'm getting a visual right now in my head of, like, what was that movie? Like, Save the Last Dance, all these dance battles. Funny.
I don't think that I was that good, but I just was confident, you mm-hmm. know? Like, I look back and I'm just like, oh my God, that just wasn't good. But nobody couldn't tell me that I wasn't. And I think that that was a superpower, because a lot of dancers judge themselves so hard that they're scared to pursue it. But yeah, I just liked to dance in school. And there was this boy in my high school that was just like, you need to come check out my crew. Very much like a movie.
Okay.
He's like, you need to come.
Because it's like,
right.
Not your turn. That's how I'm imagining this.
No, he was like, you need to come check out my crew. And it was in Harlem. And I lived in Brooklyn. And if you know New York,
it's just
like,
Harlem versus
Brooklyn.
Okay,
listen, I was like, oh, I gotta take the train to Harlem. All in all, I went one day after school. I was like, let me just go check it out.
Okay.
I told myself I would go for an hour, if that. I stood for the entire 4-hour rehearsal that they had and just like in awe. I didn't even know that all of that existed. You know, like that dance company, they did every style, commercial styles like hip hop, whacking, breaking, like all of these different things, salsa. And then I had joined his company and I was just like, this is something that I want to do. But I did it after school, again, very recreational. Practice was on Sundays and on Tuesdays. I was still in high school and I just really found this like passion for dance. And it was in my first year of college and my only year of college after high school that I was like, oh, this can be a career.
Yeah.
For real. Like I started to make money doing it, which at the time wasn't a lot, but you know, when you're 18 years old and you're getting paid to do something that you love and you've never seen anybody in your family do it, you're like, oh, wait, maybe this can be a thing.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I just imagine that that industry is both cutthroat and really, really hard to get ahead in.
Yeah, it is. There's so many dancers. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't know the industry, you don't know that. But think about like the amount of tours and music videos and commercials and movies, like there's always dance, or dance is like a major part of a lot of the industry. So yeah, and there's so many dancers that, I mean, same thing in entrepreneurship, you know, they're like 3-5% are gonna make it. It's the same thing with dance. There's so many dancers that want to be on tour or book a music video that, you know.
I love social media so much because I'm listening to you speak and I visualize things. So as people talk to me or I'm processing new ideas, I can see the pieces moving around in my head. And I'm literally seeing dancers like yourself who are highlighted on social media and you're getting chosen for these opportunities because what you've put out on social media is kind of like, I would guess that back in the day you had to put together some kind of dance reel to send, to be picked, and then you go and you audition. But today, you literally just dance.
Post online.
And post it on social media.
We're in the easiest, and same thing for business, but we're in the easiest day and age for a dancer to be seen and to be noticed. Even for Beast Tour last year, there was this one dancer in specific that we found on social media.
Yeah.
A few dancers that came to the audition because we saw them on social media, but one in specific, her name is Trinity. It was her very first job ever. And it was Beyonce.
Imagine your first job.
Your being first
the
job.
Queen.
Being the queen. And she had posted. She had posted this video. She's from Detroit. And it's just like, it went viral. And everybody was like tagging B. And it's just like, she was incredible. And we invited her to the audition. But the power of social media is so real. And even now with auditions, you know, we'll audition dancers. And then the first thing that the artist says is like, let me see their Instagram. And it's like, you want to see like what they're about, what else can they do, who, a little bit into who they are.
Yeah. We're not going to speed past the fact that you choreographed for Beyonce, the Renaissance Tour.
Yeah.
Which was the tour before last, I believe.
No, it was the last one.
It was the last one?
Yeah, last year.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because B is my girl. All right. How did you get that opportunity?
For sure. So I work with a creative director. Her name is Fatima Robinson. She's also a choreographer. She's been in the game for forever. And she got the call to be the director of choreography, and she brought me on along with Adrian, who is another choreographer that us three work together all the time.
Okay.
And how it had originally happened, though, is us three worked on her Dubai performance, which was about like 2 years ago now. And it was her first performance back in like 5 years. Like B hadn't performed in a really long time. So we worked with her on that. We went to Dubai. It was an amazing show. And then after that, literally like 2 months later, we did her Be Alive performance for the Grammys. And then we were kind of stuck with her. She was like, you guys are stuck with me. And we're like, we're stuck with you.
Of course.
It was great. It was like,
if there's anybody
it worked.
You're stuck with.
You know what I'm saying?
It's definitely
just like,
be.
It's just, it worked. Creatively, it really worked.
So as choreographer, you're not also dance captain. Those
no,
are two different
two
roles.
Different things. So dance captain is a dancer that's on the road that, you know, is assigned by the choreographer that embodies leadership. And that when the choreographer is not present, they can clean the numbers and, you know, if any changes in the show need to be made, we leave that responsibility to the dance captain.
Mm-hmm. So you walk into the room to meet B for the first time. Do you feel like at this point, like, oh my God, I've made it. You can't tell me anything. It's Beyonce, baby.
You know what? No, but I don't know. I feel like the very first time that I met her was when I I was doing a submission for Run the World. This was like over 10 years ago, her Run the World music video. Mm-hmm. And I was helping out a friend who was a choreographer, and she was doing a choreography submission. I was just a dancer at the time.
Okay.
So I was doing the steps. We walk into Alvin Ailey, and it's a live submission. We didn't know that Beyonce was going to be there. And long and behold, it's just four dancers. We walk in, and she's sitting in the front, and I'm like, gasping for air. Like 18-year-old me is gasping for air. But at that point, yeah, of course, I'm just like, wow, I'm meeting this person who inspired a lot of me wanting to dance, you mm-hmm. know, inspire my dance career. So I definitely had that fangirl moment when I did Run the World. And I just had more of like a full circle gratitude moment in life and in my career when literally a decade later, I was able to work with her as a choreographer. And just like, I definitely had a few moments in specific. I remember we were working on the tour and I was teaching her Naughty Girl, which is one of the routines that I choreographed. And I'm just like, I grew up listening to this song. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, and at the time, even when it came out, like you could not have told me that I would be in the room with her teaching her my steps so that she can perform it on a world tour. Man. You know? So it's just like, but it's just more so like full of gratitude. Like, yeah. Okay, God, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be and I'm living in my gift.
Mm-hmm. Where yeah. do you go after choreographing for Beyonce?
It's a great question. It's a great question. You know what? And a lot of, and it's crazy because I feel like a lot of creatives think that way where it's just like, okay, you've choreographed for what we would consider the biggest artists of our mm-hmm. time, I would consider.
For sure.
And even, you know, choreographing something like a movie like The Color Purple that just completely changed the world, in my opinion, last sure. year, you know, it's just like, okay, so what's next? Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I can be honest, when it comes to creatively or choreographing for a specific artist or tour, I don't necessarily know what's next, but I know that I'm not done, you know? So I'm no longer looking at it as me reaching up, but me expanding outwards. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like God has put me on the top of this mountain and now it's time for me to stretch my capacity in this realm as opposed to I'm reaching up.
Yeah.
You know, so
do you find that there are a lot of dancers now that are intimidated by you or to work with you because of the level of choreography that you've done?
I would hope not. Would hope not. I feel like naturally, as you evolve in your space, there are going to be people that are intimidated by you. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that it's a reflection of you, more mm-hmm. so just like themselves, maybe, yeah. you know? But I think that once people meet me, they understand how relatable I am. And they're like, oh, you know, I can talk to her. I can learn from her. Mm-hmm. But I think that from, you know, a bird's eye view or just seeing me on Instagram or if you were to be in the same space with me and we don't know each other, mm-hmm. I have a very strong presence or energy, but it's just sure. It's mm-hmm. just me being sure about who I am, but I don't think that I come across as like, oh, don't talk to me.
No, you know? Don't. I don't know. Social media is so powerful. Yeah. I don't know how we got connected or why on social.
Yeah.
But I just know we started following each other.
Yeah. And we have a lot of mutual friends.
Maybe that's yeah. it. Yeah. So we start following each other and Tia and I are like liking each other's posts mm-hmm. regularly. I didn't even realize that you did choreograph for Beyonce. I honestly just thought you were this outstanding dancer.
Thank you. Thank
because
you
there's so many dancers that hold like the classes, you know, it all has the same background. It's red lights and the black wall and the dancers waiting to dance. And so then I saw that you were coming to Atlanta. And I'm like, oh, she's coming to Atlanta. She has a class. Tia, I promise. I'm like, I'm going to hit her up and do her class. And then I went to show my friend your page. Like, we're going to take her class, you know, if we can get in. And when I went to your page, I saw your bio and I said, wait, she's choreographed for Beyonce. She may not even accept us.
No.
Right?
No.
In the class, I hit you up and we had talked about, I think me and Milan, my friend Milan, were doing
she was supposed to come too.
She was supposed to come. We were doing some silly dancing, you know, our stuff that we do. And I asked you, we wanted to learn a dance.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, come and teach us a dance. And you were so with it. And then I saw that, and I'm with it.
Yeah. But
the moment that I saw that you choreographed Beyonce, instantly I felt like, I don't belong in her class. She's gonna judge me. She's gonna clown me. And I came to that class. Let me tell you what. Me and my friend Maya, who came to your class.
Girl, listen, Maya was eating down too, okay? Listen.
Maya ate down. But if you could have seen how we prepared for your class.
Please tell me.
Girl. Please tell me. We were stretching. We were like working out, preparing for it.
We were stretching,
building up our cardio, preparing for it. But we were going up and down the aisles of Target looking for knee pads.
Which you needed for the combo, for sure.
Sure needed the knee pads. But we couldn't find knee pads. So we bought like the knee wraps, and we're trying to figure out like socks to stuff in the knee wraps because we don't want to show up to your class unprepared. We bought all these different versions of knee pads. We ended up coming with knee braces. I don't even know if you realize we had knee braces
I didn't even notice.
It was the most hilarious thing. We're running up and down the aisles of Target because the Tia Rivera, like, we got it. We're not coming in there unprepared. And you know what happened? We came in there very unprepared. Outstanding. Outstanding job. It was the time of my life.
I love that.
I cannot wait to do it again.
I love that.
But when I saw you do the run through of the dance and 90% of the room had the steps down, baby. They were like, okay, she did a tot, 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 da, 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 turn, cycle, spin, drop it. Yes. And I'm like, wait, I'm still on the first one, too.
She said, run it back.
So I kept trying to get closer and closer to the front of your room. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't, dancers are incredible with what you guys can not only do with your body, but your brain. Mm. That level of coordination.
Yeah.
Are you born with that?
No. Well, not everybody. I feel like some people, like, I've seen dancers go from having two left feet to being incredible. I think it just takes execution and practice. I will say, though, I just have to say, because I also wish that more dancers had the mindset that you and Maya had coming into the class, because you said this earlier to David, where it's like there were people that were in the hallway learning the routine, and you said, excuse me, I need to get inside the room.
I'm coming in the room.
Do you know what
baby.
I'm saying? But just like the confidence to step into a space that you know nothing about and to take it and head on. Mm-hmm. Not all dancers operate from that place. Yeah. Even while in the class, like, they're mentally self-sabotaging and they're like, I'm not good enough. And then and y'all were like, well, we're here. So
we're here.
We
and
might as well.
I was mentally self-sabotaging, but I'm also so committed.
Yes.
When I commit,
yes,
it's a done deal. So if I had, Tia had a room, a dance room with more than 100 people, I would say, or more, to see her. We walk in this building. We're like 3 minutes late, though you warned us to be on time, and now I see why. And there's a room full of dancers. Everybody's in there stretching. They're doing their, like, pirouettes, what's that called? They're little plie. They're plieing and they're stretching and doing all this. But there's a group of dancers standing in the hallway, and I'm like, surely they're just waiting to get in the room. And she started that music, Zell, and the routine starts, and they're out in the hallway. They're so excited to be in this studio with you. They're out in the hallway, and I'm like, oh, I can't. I won't make it. I walked right on in that room.
Okay, as you should.
As I should. As you should. I walked right on in that room, and I was terrified because these were dancers. These were skilled dancers.
Yeah.
And I was so scared. This is not my forte. I was in a girl group back in the day. I was the weakest link when it came to dancing. I never got the choreography. I did my own thing, and I thank you for that experience. Because
you're so welcome. And I can tell it brought me so much joy to see how much fun y'all had.
I had so much fun.
And that is also something I feel like dancers miss in class. It's just so like, I need to get the steps and it needs to be perfect, where it's just like, just feel and just be and just enjoy. Because I also think that there's room for improvement from that space.
Yeah.
As opposed to being so like,
you couldn't tell me wasn't about to book a job.
Okay, listen, the way that you was walking to that chair and that girl, I was like,
you couldn't tell me that all of this wasn't about to book a job, baby.
Period.
You've also worked with Meg Thee Stallion, Doja Cat. Like, what's the mindset? You're that girl.
Oh, thank you, Donnie.
But you're still walking into these rooms with icons. Like, mm-hmm. these women that you've worked with are legendary in their space. There has to be something that you do to pump your mind up and get your head in the game.
You know, I swear to you, there isn't.
Mm-mm.
I swear to
you. Don't sit here and tell me that there's nothing.
Like, and what I mean by that is, like, I don't give myself a pet. Like, you know how people have, like, a pre-routine?
Yeah.
There's no pre-routine because I think that in my industry is so fast-paced, and thank you, God, I'm so busy mm-hmm. that I don't even sometimes have time to, like, think about it. You know what I'm saying? Where it's just, like, I walk into these rooms, and I just feel like I'm supposed to be there. And I also, it's a superpower, actually, with where I'm at. I'm desensitized to the level of fame that most people are not desensitized to, because I've been working with artists since I was 18 years old. I'm 33. Mm-hmm. So not that I don't respect and understand where they are and the staple that they are in our industry and to the world, but I also just see them as people. And they prefer to be seen that way as well. So I'm just so used to being around celebrities and working with artists that I don't think, like, oh, I'm about to be in the room with X, Y, and Z. Like, let me, I don't know.
So you mean to tell me?
I swear to you.
You go here and you say, look, I can't do brunch today. I got B on the calendar later this week. You know what? I can't do it Friday either. Meg's on the calendar. I got Doja next week. Can we meet in two? Like, is that how you look at your agenda? Like, oh, B's on the calendar. I can't do anything.
I mean,
there's no like, Beyonce's on the calendar, Meg's on the calendar, Doja's on the calendar.
I mean, I'm for sure excited and okay. I'm grateful about it. Like, let's not get it twisted. I'm not like, oh, you know, it's fine. No, I'm so excited to be there and I'm so grateful. But there's, I feel like sometimes when we feel like we have to prep for something, it's because we feel like we're not ready for it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At least the things that, for example, when I go to the gym, mm-hmm. I have to warm up, because if I don't, I'm like, oh, I might injure myself, or I might, there's no warm up for me. I'm already like in the game before I'm in the room.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that just comes from me feeling like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And also I create in the room as well. I operate the best in my creative space in the room. So I've choreographed in the room in front of Beyonce or these artists, or like on set for movies, where it's more difficult for me to prepare in advance by myself, because it's just like me and my thoughts, as opposed to just being in the space. And
that is the epitome of operating in your gift.
Thank you.
When you, number one, when you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
That
but
part.
Also, when you are operating in your gift,
yeah.
in your lane, you walk in with confidence no matter who's in the room.
Yeah.
And you have to show up, whether it's a brand new dancer or whether it's an elite A-lister.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Now, granted, it took a while for me to become this girl. And when I say a while, I mean, you know, I've gone through therapy. I've had coaches, from spiritual coaches to mental coaches to business coaches, to become the version of myself that is confident in the woman that is walking into the room, not just the skill set that I'm bringing. It's just like, okay, yeah, I can have great steps, but am I confident in the person that I am when I'm in the room? Because a lot of these artists, they're not just trusting your choreography. They're trusting your leadership. They're trusting your mindset. They're trusting that they are in a safe space emotionally and mentally, and that they can be vulnerable and that they can let their hair down.
Yeah.
You know, so it took a while for me to get to this version of myself, but I'm grateful for personal development, which in the entertainment industry is not a big thing. But because at a young age, I decided to do direct sales and I entered a whole nother world, I learned about, okay, how can I work on my mindset? How can I work on my heart posture? How can I work on my communication skills? All of these different things that allowed me to be more confident as a choreographer in the room with these artists.
You know what? I think personal development is such an overlooked
and underrated.
Underrated, slept on life hack.
Yeah.
If people take personal development seriously, they will already be like 10 steps ahead of everybody else in space. And not even just in their space, but period in the world.
Yeah.
Because I find that so many people study the talent. So many people study the skill set.
Yeah.
But what are you doing to be intentional about studying yourself and how you're showing up now?
Yeah.
And then creating goals for how you should be showing up.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite things to do to work on your personal development?
For sure. So for me, I look at personal development in like different compartments.
Okay.
So for me, there's like the spiritual aspect and me growing spiritually. I would say spiritually, mentally, and emotionally are the big ones for me. Mm-hmm. So spiritually, I mean, I'm God-fearing. I go to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. I have great relationship with my pastor and his family. I read the Bible, just like spending time with God.
Yeah.
You know, and understanding that everything that I'm doing is just me walking in obedience. Mm. I think I also show up different when I understand whose I am, you know, and it's helped me with my confidence. It's crazy. Like me getting closer to God has helped me walk into rooms feeling like that girl, because I'm just like, well, I'm the daughter of the highest King.
Yes.
You know, it's helped me learn how to love people better. It's helped stretch my capacity for leadership. I feel like the Bible is the best place to learn about leadership and overcoming adversity and all of these different things. So me just growing in my relationship with God has helped develop me as a person and help keep me in this place of peace. Because the entertainment industry, it's a very dark place, you know, and it's a lot of opinions and moving parts that if you're not sure about who you are, it will break you. Mm-hmm. Like there are certain jobs that I've seen dancers, be on, or choreographers, and it completely take them away from this career 100% because they're just like, I'm broken. So for me spiritually, but then also like mentally and emotionally, I listen to a lot of podcasts, mm-hmm. Full Transparency Podcast.
Hey.
I listen to podcasts. I read books. I have coaches. Mm-hmm. I've had relationship coaches, and even just like with the relationship with myself, and just having mentors in my life and people that can see me from a perspective that I can't see myself, I think is so important. I think also mentorship is so underrated. People feel like, oh, I got it. And it's just like, if you had it, you would be where you want to be already. And that's in every area, right? Whether you want to be married or whether you want to make $1 million. So for me, I'm always in this place of how can I learn? What is there to still learn about me on this level as a choreographer, as a woman of God, as me being in my singleness right now? Like, what is there to learn about where I'm at so that I'm ready for what God actually has for me?
Yeah.
I'm always in that mindset.
And you have to always be in that mindset because development is forever.
Forever.
Mm-hmm. I can see me 5 years ago. I'm a completely different person. Mm. And there are so many different parts of me that are different from who I was just a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Because I am constantly in pursuit of becoming my best self. Yeah. It's interesting you were talking about your close relationship to your pastor and you read the Bible. My business partner and I, David, who you got to meet earlier, we were just talking about, we recorded a Social Proof episode today as well. And we were just talking about the fact that neither of us have read the Bible from cover to cover.
Mm.
And so in August, that is a challenge that I'm placing myself on. I want to read the Bible from cover to cover.
I love that.
Have you ever done that?
Not from cover to cover.
Mm-hmm.
I've read a lot of the Bible.
For sure.
Me and my friend, it's funny that you say that. I'll send you a link on Amazon after this. But there are these two books that help you read the Bible cover to cover. But in stories so that it's more understandable and
that's
digestible, as opposed to, I feel like sometimes when you go into scripture and you're like, okay, God, what do I open, Deuteronomy or Matthew? Like, it's like, where do I even
start?
Where it's just like, it helps you understand the Bible in stories where you're just like, oh, that's Esther's story and that's Eve's story. And the same way we hear stories of friends, we understand something. We understand better when it's said in stories, as opposed to, I feel like sometimes the Bible can be overwhelming when you just don't understand what it may mean in the moment.
It's so overwhelming. And so the way that I have typically read the Bible is based on whatever scripture my pastor is talking about in church. And then I'll go and I'll deep dive. I'll look at my notes. I compare my notes from what he preached about in his sermon to what the word actually says, because in church it moves so fast, right?
Yeah.
So I've received my understanding for as long as I can remember that way. But I want to actually read the Bible starting right at Genesis. Like, I want to start and read all the way through. But I love a good, you know what? A children's Bible is not a bad idea, because it breaks things down with pictures and stories. I need the pictures and the stories to make this make sense for me. But I'm really, really, really excited about it. Like,
I love that.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
We have understanding of certain stories, but not always how all these stories fit and work together.
Like,
I'm very familiar with Esther's story in the Bible. I do an Esther fast twice a year and different things like that. But I want to figure out, I want to understand the whole Bible from
books.
And I also just feel like we're so intentional about learning the new dance moves. We're so intentional about reading the business books and the relationship books. Like, we got to read the word from chapter to chapter, from cover to cover.
And I think for me, what has helped too is whatever I feel like I'm working on currently in my life, whether it be my patience or I'm in something that I feel like is adverse, or 2.5 years ago, I got out of a 6-year relationship and I was just like, I felt like I need to relearn what God has to say about love, because I feel like that wasn't love the way that God wanted me to love, where I would ask myself, or I would pray to God, and I would just ask him like, okay, what do I need to uncover about myself in this season? And he'll give me a word, and let's say it is love. And I'm like, I'll start with Google. Bible verses on love, let's just say, but then I'll start to read full chapters, and it's just like, what does the Bible have to say about the thing that I want or the thing that I desire to be better at, as opposed to just, like you said, the business book. And it's so crazy, because even after that relationship, I learned so much about love that I didn't even care to learn about while I was in a relationship from the Bible. And I was just like, wow, this is what love really is. And most people who say that they love you don't actually love you the way that God has intended us to love each other. So it's beautiful to think about, and I don't know if this will serve you, but just like, what is the thing that you feel like is missing for you, and seeing what the Bible has to say about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. I love that so much. Do you feel like you've ever experienced loving someone the way that God intends us to love?
You know, I feel like I try every day. Mm-hmm. I think that even something as simple as, you know, the Bible talking about unconditional love is unconditional acceptance. And I think that we tend to make love conditional. Like, if you do this, I'll love you. If you show up for me this way, then I love you. But the minute you want to do things completely your way, there's conditions now. You're not showing up for me the way that I want you to show up for me. And it's just like, oh, I don't love you anymore. I don't love you as much as I thought I did. Well, then you probably didn't really love me in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in the past year, I'm trying to work on that in my friendships. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to work on that with people that I meet, where it's just like, how can I accept you as you are, where you are, without the idea of, and this comes with me being a coach and a choreographer, like, I've always had this thing where I like to fix people.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, babe, listen.
Say that. And that is my problem.
Yeah, and I've realized, especially in relationship, people are not projects. And we're at a point in our life as women where iron should sharpen iron. Mm-hmm. And I'm not here to necessarily, unless it's obviously like transactional and someone's at my coaching program, then yes, I'm here to be your mentor. But if we are here to do life together, I'm not here to fix you. And I need to accept you as you are, not as who I see you can be if you were to do X, Y, and Z.
How do you respond though if you're dating and that person asks you for this feedback? Or they're looking for your feedback in terms of fixing an issue that they're experiencing.
For sure. I think that vulnerability is a superpower, that I'm grateful that although I have experienced heartbreak and been in relationship that didn't work out, I feel like as we get older, and I'm sure that you've probably experienced this where you're just like, I've wanted to be here in my life by this age or
okay,
by this
time.
Okay,
wait, heavy on the... light on the...
No, she's like, wait, babe, we're not the same age.
Let's back up on the, as you get older, you may have experienced this.
No, I'm saying like, listen, I mean, I know we're not the same age, but I'm above 30.
For
and
sure.
When I hit 30, I was just like, you know, when you're in your 20s, at least I'll speak for myself. I can't even say most women. I was just like, oh, I want to be married. I want to have children.
Oh, we thought we'd have it all figured
okay,
out by 25.
Listen, like, and here I was at 31, very single. So for me, I just think that I'm grateful that although I've experienced what I've experienced, that I allow myself to still be vulnerable. And I think that when you're vulnerable, you allow the risk for you to be hurt, obviously.
Yeah.
But you also allow the risk for you to find exactly what it is that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that feedback is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how someone chooses to take the feedback and run with it will speak volumes, but someone shouldn't run with the feedback because they want to do it for you. They should run with the feedback because they want to do it for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think as a woman, and I just watched a clip that you posted with your list.
Oh my gosh. My list. First of all, what'd you think about the list?
I thought it was great.
Okay.
I feel like you shy away from these conversations of, hey, this is what I feel like you need to fix, when you walk into a situation knowing your non-negotiables.
Yes.
And that's it. And granted, no one is going to be perfect. I think that there are things that we could want from a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are things that we know that we need.
Yeah.
And for everyone, it's different. For example, in my last relationship, I didn't make it a non-negotiable that he was God-fearing. And I realized how much of a dent that put in my relationship. I was just like, I could bring him to church. Like, yeah. I could, you know,
he'll come around.
Where it's just like, God is the center of my life. So if God is not the center of yours, how are we building life? And then I thought about even, you know, raising children, and I need someone who can lead me. So if you can't hear from God, how are you going to lead me as your wife?
Mm.
And I didn't realize all of these things. So I was like waist deep in this relationship, and I'm just like, wow, this is something that I thought I wanted, but I actually need it to thrive in relationship. But I think that we can shy away from, hey, so here's what I think you need to fix, if we're honest with ourselves about our non-negotiables.
Mm-hmm.
And allow the discipline and the obedience to say, okay, that's a good man, but that is not my man.
Say that.
Okay.
Okay. That's a good man, but that's not my man. I've dated really good guys.
Yeah.
I've dated really, really good guys. And sometimes people don't understand why those situations had to end. Mm. Because the really, really, there's so many people in this world. Every really good person is not your person.
Yeah.
But also, even more than that, you have to be ready. Sometimes people are so good, you have to be ready to accept that really good.
Talk about
like,
it.
Like, we've missed out, or we've learned through some situations where we hadn't become what we needed to become, or that person hadn't become who they needed to become to handle your capacity.
Yeah.
Wrong time. Like, man, if we'd have done this 5 years later, 10 years later, match made in heaven. But because we did it then, and we didn't really understand ourselves enough to even know what core values was.
Right.
I didn't start thinking about core values until maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I'd heard the term.
Yeah.
I'd created them in my business.
Mm.
But core values
Talk about it.
For my life and my relationship, that's a completely different conversation.
And every relationship.
Every relationship.
Friendship, business relationship, romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that you share those core values.
It's
because
so important.
For a lifelong relationship.
Yeah. And not only so, the list that Tia is referring to, if you guys go back to episode 70, a full transparency, if you go back to that, there's this list, and the guest that I had there, Lateris Whitfield, is like, there's 92 things on your list. And there are some people who heard me read off a couple of those things, and they're like, oh my God, sis, send the list. And then there are some people who are like, 92 things, it's unreasonable. And what I want to clarify about that is, it's not 92 things of he must be this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
I visualize the experience that I want to have with my husband.
Mm.
And there's also an experience of the wife that I want to be with my husband. But in that conversation, it focused on what I want my husband be to me. That was the question.
Yeah.
And the way that I curated this list, you ever heard somebody give a toast or just say something and they're like, man, I could say a million things about you.
Mm-hmm.
I said 92 things about my future husband. Mm-hmm. I said 92 things about what would be ideal for me.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you're going to get 92 things.
For sure.
But why would I say, oh, let me just pick a couple of things that I want him to be nice to me. Sure. For sure. Yeah. Right. But it's also okay to say, I want my husband to be happy to see me when he comes home. I want my husband to enjoy having me around his friends. I want to enjoy my husband being around my friends. Mm. Like, it's not, everything wasn't necessarily, everything can be categorized under maybe 5 or 6 core values.
Of course.
But it's an elaboration of
the experiences you want to curate.
The experience that I want. Have you ever made a list like that? Hey, hey, entrepreneur, are you looking for mentorship? Do you ever watch me here on the Social Proof Podcast or on Full Transparency and say, you know what? One day I want to work with Donnie. Great news.
What's going on, family? Whether it's your social network or your wireless network, these connections go a long way for your business. Thankfully, with AT&T Business, you can pick our best wireless plan for your small business and offer your employees the features they need. We talk a lot about having the right tools to overcome problems. Well, AT&T Business helps you get more done when you need to get things done. For example, your teams can work from almost anywhere with phone to laptop tethering and up to 100 gigabytes of hotspot data on the best AT&T Business wireless plan. Plus, AT&T Business wireless plans include nationwide 5G that's fast, reliable, and secure. Wherever business takes you, AT&T Business has the best plan with the features you need. Visit att.com/getbizunlimited to learn more. Now, after 100 gigabytes with our AT&T Unlimited Elite plan, hotspot speed is slow to a max of 128 kbps. 5G requires a compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area, so visit att.com/5G for you for more details.
You absolutely can. Join me inside my community, Actionable CEO, where we help to develop new habits, grow you personally, professionally, and financially, help you take massive action in your business, ultimately helping you make more money. It's just $97 a month. We meet every single week. We have a book club. We do live co-working sessions. When I'm in your city, you guys get to connect with me in person and so much more. Don't take my word for it. Go over to actionableceo.com. Check out the page and see if it's a good fit for you. If so, I'll see you on the inside.
Not 92. I need to catch up to you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have. And it wasn't until recently as well. Yeah. It wasn't until I was in my 30s and in my singleness and I sat with God and I'm just like, okay, let me get clear on my non-negotiables.
Let's do it real quick.
And you. What I want. Okay.
Pull out your notes. Pull out your notes. I want to
send me your list, girl.
Right. Okay. So like, so for example, one of my core values that is a non-negotiable for me is integrity. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. So here, like, and so that goes with, my husband does God's work. My husband is honest and trustworthy. Like, this is under having integrity. Also, it's like, my husband honors me when he's out with his friends, as opposed to acting single when he's out with his friends behind my back. That is an experience that I'd like to have based on the core value of my husband having integrity. Yes. Yeah. So when you think about your husband,
yeah,
what do you want to experience? And an easy place to start is thinking about what your experience was in a previous relationship where you're like, I didn't like that very much.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking at, I take a solo trip every year. And I went to Costa Rica in December and I just started writing. I've never shared this out loud. Am I about to share this?
I want to hear. I'll share. Let me scroll to mine. Share. You share.
So it's not a list. It just starts with he is.
Okay.
As opposed to, you know how we do I ams.
That's what mine literally says my husband is.
Okay. So I'm going to share a little bit because if not, we're going to be here till tomorrow.
Okay.
But he is a man of God. He is his spiritual maturity dictates how he lives his life. A safe space for me to grow and be vulnerable. Supports me and my ambitions. That was a big one. I felt like in my last relationship, I didn't feel celebrated, but it wasn't a reflection of my ex not being able to celebrate me. He didn't know how to celebrate himself. And I found myself being small in that relationship and I would have wins and, you know, crush these goals. And I felt like I couldn't celebrate them because I didn't want him to feel bad about where he was. And I'm not doing that again.
Yes.
So supports me in my ambitions, challenges my growth, and holds me accountable, a leader who knows how to lead me, inspires me through his own life's work, intellectual and wise, someone who teaches me new things, well-spoken, a family man who has a great relationship with his parents, emotionally available, that's a big one, emotionally intelligent, responsible, and intentional with everything in his life, disciplined and integrous, to your point of integrity, caring and compassionate, thoughtful and romantic, trustworthy, wants to be a father and build a family, wants to be married. Because there's a lot of people out here who are in marriages that don't necessarily want to be married or want to have a family. My best friend, someone I can have fun with, laugh with, do everything with, a giver. And then everything else started to turn into aesthetic, but I'm just leaving it there.
Yeah, well, and so I want to go there.
But those are like at the core, these are things that came up for me that I'm just like, this is the experience that I want to have in my husband.
So I want to go there. I love that list so much. And I have almost all those things on that list, right? Mm-hmm. This is so good, Tia, because
I've never spoken about this out loud ever.
Shout out to Full Transparency Podcast. Shout out.
I talk to my best friend about this.
Because we pull it out, baby.
Yeah.
So many people commented on that video that went viral of me saying what my core values were. And it was like, the things that I stated, right?
Yeah.
They were the non-tangible, so to speak, had nothing to do with your appearance. Yes. And I want to correct that mindset.
Yeah.
Because it is absolutely okay to desire to be attracted to your significant other.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely okay. And so people were like sharing me and saying, oh, this is a real woman right here. She's only concerned about character. It's not the 6 foot, the athletic and da-da-da. Hold up.
Please hold.
Pause. Because one of my core values.
Tell me.
Two of them is accountability and discipline. And let me tell you why what you look like falls under those core values.
It says a lot about how you feel about yourself and the discipline.
The discipline. Mm-hmm. So I am usually more attracted to someone who is physically fit. And that doesn't mean six pack and all that stuff. It's someone who steps into a gym every now and then. Right? It's someone who
cares about their health and their well-being.
You care about your health and your well-being. And that core value that falls under is discipline.
Yeah.
When I think of someone who will eat anything, not in moderation, they'll just take it all in. And I see people and I'm not talking about anybody who has any health condition or anything like that. I am talking about the people who voluntarily give it away. There are so many people who are just voluntarily giving things away to impulse and lack of control. That is a sign that is in direct contradiction and conflict with my desire to have someone who is disciplined. That's a core value of mine.
Yeah.
I am disciplined. So I don't feel like going to the gym. I go to the gym.
Okay, talk about it.
I don't feel like eating well. I eat well. I don't always feel like fasting whenever I choose to fast. These are things that I do because I honor my body. And that is a core value. And so
I'm right there with you on that.
Don't be fooled and have people thinking that you're asking too much because you actually desire to be attracted to your significant other.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to give me a few more.
The pressure.
Because people literally wanted me to, people wanted me to share this list of these 92 things.
Yeah.
Oh, and let me tell you why. There were men and women all over that post, and men and women who are DMing me literally till this day. It's only been a couple of days since I posted that. And it's not that they wanted to duplicate my list. Mm-hmm. More than the response that I got was like, wow, I didn't even know what to ask for. I have these ideas of what I want to experience in my head, and I don't know how to communicate it. So these conversations are so important.
Yeah, for sure. So for aesthetic, aesthetic purposes, someone who has nice teeth. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is this what bad that I'm saying this out loud?
No, what could they get their teeth fixed?
For sure.
Okay.
But someone who has nice teeth, well-groomed, cares about his upkeep. Because also I think that says a lot about how you love yourself.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Well-dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's relative. Everybody's idea of that is different.
Mm-hmm.
But just, again, someone who cares enough to someone who wants to be a provider, someone who's living in his purpose,
mm-hmm.
who is in love with me,
mm-hmm.
Tall.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tia, now that's not a core value.
It's not a core value, but you asked for more of my list.
Yeah, it's a preference.
It's a preference. Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it. And I will say that this is not my list of core values, everyone.
I can connect it to a core value because.
Tell me.
The core value could be safety. We value safety.
It could.
And for a lot of women.
Okay. But I appreciate you.
It's a reach. That's not why it's there though, Donnie. It's not why it's there.
But you know what? And I'm not saying I gotta look up like this.
Yeah.
But I just.
Taller than you.
When it comes to being attracted physically, mm-hmm. this is me just now being honest about my preference.
Yeah.
This is not, now I'm not getting into non-negotiables. It's just like, again, even when I wrote this from a place of like, if I could write down the things that I would desire in a relationship, what are they?
Mm-hmm.
I said someone living in their purpose, someone who is in love with me, who feels honored to be my husband.
Mm-hmm.
For he who has found me has found a good thing.
I love that. I'm going to share a couple more of mine.
Mm-hmm.
One of mine is that my husband is physically fit.
Yeah.
There was one that I saw in here that I thought was so important. My husband is faithful. My husband is honest, obviously. For me, my husband has great conversations.
Yeah.
I'm
adding these to my list. Because these are all things that fall true for me.
It's the great conversations for me because I have been, first of all, I also got the question of how did you create this list to know what to ask for? Mm. I thought about some relationships that I had been in and what was not serving me in those relationships. Yeah. And I can remember being in one and being that couple who regularly went out on date night, but we were watching everybody else. Like, we didn't have much to talk about, right? Mm. Like, we talked, but we didn't have so much to talk about, and it just like flowed like this.
Yeah.
And I'm a conversationalist, right? Same. And I don't want to just look around the restaurant and see everybody else in conversation and we're just kind of like moving through calamari.
Right.
And that's what was happening. So I'm like, okay, I didn't love that. Yeah. We didn't have strong conversations. My husband has great conversations. My husband is coachable.
Mm.
And this is so important to me because I value therapy.
Yeah.
I value counseling. And yeah. only a man who is confident in being coachable will show up in those spaces. Also, that means that he welcomes mentorship.
Mm.
He welcomes mentorship. And that's important to me. And there was another one that my husband is a problem solver.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I love that. My husband is easy to be submissive to. Mm. My husband is constantly growing into the best version of himself. My husband is interesting. And again, you guys, these aren't all core values. This yeah. is just the experience yeah. that I want to have. My husband trusts me. Mm. Oh my God. It's nothing like being in a relationship with Girl. Somebody who is trackers yeah. on everything. They yeah. don't trust you.
But also, again, that's not a reflection of you. That's their own insecurity.
For sure.
I've been in
sure.
a relationship like that.
That's why we want them to have these things. Let me see. My husband is powerful.
Mm.
This is a very important one to me because it doesn't mean that they are powerful in the eyes of other people. He's powerful in the eyes of me, how he leads me, the information and the knowledge that he has access to, how he teaches me, how I sit across from a table and look at him like, you better teach me something. Like, ooh, I trust you. Like, I trust in your power to lead. You make yeah. great decisions for us. You make great decisions for the people who are around us. There's power in that.
Yeah.
And I definitely desire somebody who has all of those things. And there's more. So anyway, we're not going to be able to get into all these things that are on the list, but it's literally anytime I encounter someone, mm. I could meet someone today and go out on a date
mm.
and they could do something that I'm like, ooh, that belongs on my list. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Like, for example, my husband is a gentleman. He loves opening doors for me and blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, or he's easy to surprise, whatever those things are. I believe we, man and woman, should literally write that list out
yeah.
so that we don't spend 3 years and 6 years or 2 years and 10 years in a relationship trying to figure out, mm. can we make this work? Can right. I be happy here?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because yeah. we're talking about, I'm spending my whole life with you.
Your like best
the rest,
years.
The rest of my life.
Your best years.
Yeah.
Do you find, though, with the success, not even with your success,
mm.
and you are successful, we're not going to bat an eye at that, but do you find that at your age, you're 33,
mm-hmm.
at 33 years old, you have a well-developed mindset, right? Yeah. Do you find that because you have such a great mindset that it's becoming more and more difficult for you to mesh with people, men and women?
You know, I would say it's easier for me to feel like, I feel like the pool gets smaller. Mm. I'll say that. I don't want to say that it's harder mm-hmm. to mesh with people. I just think that there's less people to mesh with because there's not that many people, both men and women,
yeah.
that care enough to continuously develop who they are.
Yeah.
And the more that we develop who we are and the more that we become certain with who we are and what we have to offer to the world and the awareness that we have as individuals.
Mm.
There's not that many people walking around this aware.
Yeah.
And they're in resistance to that. And because we're so, for lack of a better word, woke.
Yeah.
It's easy to spot
mm-hmm.
when someone is like resistant to change or resistant to growth. Mm-hmm. And I've promised myself I'm not going to have those relationships in my life anymore. So it's not that it's harder. There's just less. And less doesn't always mean bad. I feel like I have really meaningful relationships in my life. Mm-hmm. I have way less friends than I had in my 20s. There's way less people that I would consider dating today at first glance or on after a first date with who I am today and the mindset that I have, as opposed to even 2.5 years ago when I first got out of my relationship. So it's just less.
Are you really good at enforcing your boundaries?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very communicative. Mm-hmm. And again, it could be a blessing and a curse, but I will overly communicate. And I'm like this in all of my relationships. I don't let anything slip under the cracks. It can be with my best friend. If I'm like, you know, you said something yesterday and it kind of made me feel like this. Mm-hmm. I never project it onto someone else or put it on someone else, but I will always speak how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And whether that be if I felt like a boundary was crossed or the way someone operated, because I think that the more that we just allow things to pile up, whether that be, you know, oh, well, we're dating someone. Well, I'm just getting to know them. And maybe there was just, you know, they had a day. Maybe, but maybe that's just who they are.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that communicating from the place of, hey, this is how this makes me feel. Mm-hmm. There's always room for healthy conversation.
Yeah.
If someone wants to be combative because of how you're feeling, that's already a red flag. Because I know that for me, I am emotional and I like to communicate and I like to be vulnerable and I want to know that whether it be my best friend or my business partner or my husband, that you can be just as vulnerable and sharing whatever your boundaries are or whatever it is that you're feeling.
Yeah. More than emotional though, what I'm picking up about you is that you have a great sense of awareness.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that probably translates over into your career. Not even probably, it has to.
Yeah.
Right? You wouldn't even be exposed to the opportunities that you've been blessed with had you not been aware of your talent, your skill set, develop the confidence that we've talked about.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that that also translates well into your career as a coach. Mm-hmm. Like you teach people how to enter into the entertainment space.
Yeah.
But then you also coach generally in business.
Yeah.
Tell me more about what you do in those spaces.
For sure. So for both, essentially, my goal is to teach someone how to turn their passion into profit, into a profitable career, whether that be choreography. I've worked with radio personalities, CPAs, yoga instructors, and they're small business owners, right? So I remember my first year, my first decade, I want to say, or first 5 years, uncovering what it takes to actually build a business. And I think that we get excited about this idea, but we don't know how to execute. And one of the things that I feel that I've mastered when it comes to, one, having a dance career that I've been able to do everything I wanted to do, choreography career, I've had a lot of success in sales and business, is execution and what that looks like. So, you know, I teach small business owners everything from, and starting with the base, creating their business plan. Like, what are your products? What are your price points? How are you marketing? You know, what are your core values as a business? Yeah. I feel like these are a lot of things that no one really explain to me, you know? So I just help small business owners uncover, one, be in awareness of where they are, where they're lacking, where they may need to outsource, and then create a blueprint and a plan to essentially make their first six figures in their business.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Choreography, we were talking earlier, I didn't even understand the potential financially your industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it would seem as though dancers who are not yet choreographers, their goal is to become a choreographer?
Not necessarily.
No?
Not necessarily. Because just because you're a great dancer doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a great choreographer.
That makes sense.
You can take direction, but can you give direction? Mm-hmm. Two very different skill sets, right? It takes leadership. It takes patience. It takes creativity. Just because you can do my steps well doesn't mean that you can create your own that are going to be just as great.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, some dancers, their goal is to choreograph and then creative direct, but then others, they want to just stay in the entertainment industry and some branch off into producing or into directing or into styling or whatever other field under the entertainment umbrella.
That makes sense. People would think, though, after you've choreographed for the portfolio of artists and productions, that this is like, oh my God, Tia's made it. She's rich. She's hit the jackpot. You do well for yourself. what's the income potential? Will you share the most you've ever been paid for a job as a choreographer?
Yeah, for sure. It's no problem. I'll keep the job confidential.
For sure, absolutely.
But I will keep, yeah. So, and just to preface, it really varies. Like, with choreography, there is no base rate. There is no standard. As opposed to dancers, there is Dancers Alliance. So there is like a union rate that dancers get paid across the board. Mm-hmm. With choreography, it really depends on your experience and what people are willing to pay you. But for me, it was $75,000 to choreograph a tour.
$75,000 to choreograph a tour. How much time does it take for you to do that? Like, what time are you contracted for?
For sure. It was like between 5 to 6 weeks.
I'm doing the math real quick. If I do the math, they get mad when I start doing the math.
They
be mad in the comments when I start doing the math, but I'm doing the math for y'all.
Yeah.
Not asking for my friends.
Yeah.
So about a month and a half, $75,000. Mm-hmm. That is insane. Yeah. And then you also have your own workshops. Mm-hmm. What's like the income potential there? Like, there are so many people who are dancers. You said there's Dancers Alliance. Mm-hmm. Do dancers make that kind of money?
Unfortunately, most dancers don't. I think that there is potential to have a dance career, a flourishing one, and retire off of your career. 100%. Okay. For example, dancers that tour with artists.
So my girl right now, for example, Taylor,
mm-hmm.
who's on tour with Chris
Brown. Listen.
First of all, that girl,
she can dance. Okay.
You hear me? She's the complete package.
Yeah.
And I love how, much like yourself, mm-hmm. having that level of exposure made you like the star. Mm. People want to see you. People want to see the dancers. People want to see the dance captains.
Yeah.
Social media is so powerful.
It's so powerful. But dancers do have the potential where, you know, artists are paying anywhere, let's say between $2,500 to $3,000 a week. Let's say $2,500 is pretty standard right now.
Okay.
$2,500 a week. So you're making $10,000 a month on tour with an artist as a dancer. Granted, mm-hmm. after taxes, probably like you're making like, let's say $8,000.
Okay.
But the problem becomes is that most dancers, this is their first tour, their first time traveling to Paris and here. And they're like, let me go shop it up at the mall.
For sure.
And let me go out and let me go to dinners and the steak dinners and the bottles and this. And they come back mm-hmm. into their life after the tour and they didn't save any money. They didn't invest mm-hmm. any money. So I think that depending on the tour, like right now, Taylor Swift has been on tour for forever. Mm-hmm. Let's say her dancers are getting paid, you know, $10,000 a month. If you're away for 6 months.
For sure.
Or if you're away for a year, sometimes, like there's artists that are on tour for a year, you're getting paid $60,000. You can make $100,000 in a year as a performer.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And we both know this. You don't need to make multiple six figures or $1 million a year to be able to set up a plan for yourself, especially if you're young, mm-hmm. to be able to retire.
Do you teach this in your coaching program?
I do.
Yeah.
I teach this, and I teach this specifically in my dance intensives. I have a 30-day dance mentorship program for dancers called the Breakthrough Bootcamp mm-hmm. on how to break into the industry and break into the level of their career that they want to be on, but also what to actually do when they get there.
Yeah.
Because no one really teaches the business side of being a performer. It's just like, we're artists.
Mm-hmm.
And
Free flowing.
And that will keep you free flowingly broke. Okay. Ain't nobody got time for that. So I teach, you know, like, I mean, I was 22 when I read Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this saving system in the book that changed the game for my finances in my 20s. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, okay, you're making money, but how are you managing it? How are you saving it? How are you investing it?
Yeah.
And then I talk about the different vehicles and different ways that they can do either of those things. And obviously it's on them to decide, but you can totally have a dance career and retire
mm-hmm.
if you set yourself up correctly, if you invest, if you save. It's just rare because most people don't take on that responsibility and have that discipline.
Because you can age out, so to speak, dancing so fast.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's absolutely necessary to have some type of financial plan.
Yes.
Yeah. What and you don't have to give me a bunch, but what are some of the things that you do that will have the money that you're making today still be working for you in your retirement?
For sure. So I have investments.
Okay.
Right. From crypto, and I've crypto like early on crypto.
You got early crypto. It's worth something crypto.
But crypto, I have a Roth IRA. So I just have some investment set up that my money is going to be growing and working for me. I'm currently in the process now of digitizing what it is that I offer so that I can just start creating some more passive income, because I've also realized that a lot of what I do, if not majority, is all active. So even for me, you know, although I make great money and I love what I'm doing, if I wanted to stop tomorrow, I need to make sure that I can support my life financially the way that I have set my life up today for forever. Mm-hmm. I'll be cool for the next 5 years.
Yes.
But, you know, what about when I'm 40? What about when I'm 50? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm still learning too, and I'm still growing, and I'm still in that process. But as I learn and as I grow, I make sure that I also teach it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And let me say this. You're just getting started.
Thank you.
You have a long, long way to go. But you will one day look back and it'll feel just like yesterday. Mm. Like I'm listening to you at 33 years old.
Yeah.
And you're saying things like, one day I'll be in my 40s. And again, the pieces are moving, right? And I'm like, man, I'm 45 years old and I can remember my 35th birthday. I can remember the type of financial decisions that I was making back then. And I can remember 25. And if I had just gotten started with this mindset 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
What's going on, family? Whether it's your social network or your wireless network, these connections go a long way for your business. Thankfully, with AT&T Business, you can pick our best wireless plan for your small business and offer your employees the features they need. We talk a lot about having the right tools to overcome problems. Well, AT&T Business helps you get more done when you need to get things done. For example, your teams can work from almost anywhere with phone to laptop tethering and up to 100 gigabytes of hotspot data on the best AT&T Business wireless plan. Plus, AT&T Business wireless plans include nationwide 5G that's fast, reliable, and secure. Wherever business takes you, AT&T Business has the best plan with the features you need. Visit att.com/getbizunlimited to learn more. Now, after 100 gigabytes with our AT&T Unlimited Elite plan, hotspot speed is slowed to a max of 128 kbps. 5G requires a compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area, so visit att.com/5G for you for more details.
It would be a completely different version. I would be a completely different version of who I am today.
Yeah.
And I, Tia, love what you are doing right now at 33 years old. Like, because I'm 45 and I feel younger than I've ever been. Don't know. I think it's also a lot of mindset shifting and shaping, but I feel so young, right? But then I'm sitting here across from you at 33 years old and I'm looking at you like, this girl is bad.
Thank you.
And she's just getting started.
Thank you.
There's so much more, and you've already done so much.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about how tremendous your future is going to be for you. And I love sitting across women who are gifted, who are operating in their passion and in their purpose, and are just making waves the way that you are. You are somebody's dream.
I receive that.
You are. You're Thank somebody's you. Dream, and you are on so many people's vision boards. And I just think it's an honor to sit here and witness this, because in 5 years, I'm going to be like, all right, sis, what are we doing? And I'm going to see the people who are fangirling after you, who are modeling their careers after you, who are making decisions based on your feedback, because you're that powerful.
Thank you, Donnie.
You really are. You really are. You said something earlier, Tia. You said, the things that I teach and that I coach women on are a reflection of the things that I didn't learn. Nobody taught me.
Yeah.
Right? You had to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
If you could speak to your 23-year-old self, what are, like, I don't know, 3 to 5 things that you would speak into your 23-year-old self based on who Tia is today?
That's a great question. The first would be to think bigger much faster. I think that it took me a long time to realize the massive gift that God has placed on my life. And it wasn't until I was walking in the blessing that I started to understand the calling. And I always say now, you know, with everything that I do from choreography, because even with these artists, I know that I'm not just being hired to choreograph the gift of who I am as a person in their life. And like the light that I get to be in a room is why I'm there. That everything that I do from choreography to coaching, it's not a career anymore. It's a calling. At this point, I'm just being a vessel and I'm living in my purpose. Because like you said, you get to a place where you're like, okay, well what else? Mm-hmm. But that comes from ego. It's just like, how else can I fulfill the things that I want to do? And it's just like, okay, God, wherever you have me go, I'm going to go. But I wish I would have thought bigger much faster at that age.
Yeah.
You know, to not settle, I'll say that. I wouldn't have found myself in certain relationships. And I'm not even just talking about romantic relationships, even friendships, mm-hmm. business relationships. I would tell my younger self that you are worthy of every good thing. Mm-hmm. I had to work a lot in my 20s on my worthiness, you know, and I grew up with a single mom and my dad was always in my life, but I grew up with my mom. And I realized as an adult that I had this limiting belief that I didn't deserve to be loved. Mm. And it was so far from the truth. And I've been able to work through that, but just like, I wouldn't have found myself in these situations where I felt like I needed someone else to validate me because I don't need anybody else's validation.
Yeah.
Which would bring me, I guess, to my last point is that you don't need anybody's validation, but God's.
Yeah.
And yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's really good. And I wish that at 33 years old, I had some of your mindset.
Mm.
Like so many things, so many people my age had to learn late.
Yeah.
And then I see people who are younger than you that are in a place where they're not interested in learning some of this stuff at all.
No.
And it's our responsibility to you, and you're doing it, but it's our responsibility to make sure that they get it.
Yeah,
it's our responsibility to live our lives in a way that we're being an outstanding example, because the examples that we had are what changed our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, absolutely.
I love this for you. What do you see for yourself in the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years, I see myself. Let's start with what I want to continue to do.
Okay.
Because I think that sometimes when we reach a place, or I've seen people in my industry, they feel like they need to completely go do something else. But I see myself in the next 5 years continuing to choreograph and creative direct pieces and tours and movies that make a difference in, mm-hmm. in the world. So I see that for myself. I see myself meeting my husband.
Mm.
Okay. See myself meeting my husband. Hopefully getting married, if not having children on the way to having children. I'm very clear with where I am right now in my life that I want to be a wife. I want to be a mother.
Mm-hmm.
I see myself stepping into my gift outside of entertainment and doing more speaking, keynotes, speaking, coaching, taking my coaching business to the next level, and just continuing to live in this gift that I'm living in now. There's nothing that I'm not currently pursuing that I see myself doing different. I just see myself doing more of.
I have a question that just came top of mind. I've never, ever asked this question before. And I think it's a really good question. It's probably going to catch you off guard just a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. So I asked you what you would say to your younger self at 23 years old, right? But what do you need from me? Like, what do you need from a woman who's 45 years old? What kind of example can I be, and can my generation be to you coming up into this space?
That's so good, because I really value your opinion. Like, we're just now like getting to know each other, but you're someone that I've, even before I started following you, I knew who you were. Mm-hmm. Again, we have a lot of the same mutual friends. We'll talk about it after, but I really value your confidence. Mm-hmm. I value your certainty and the light that you are in every room that I see you walk into, even if it's just on social media. I feel like you walk in with so much power, and I feel like that it takes courage getting to this place where you can be 100% authentically, unapologetically yourself. Yeah. And when I look at you and I see your content, from you interviewing people to you dancing with your friends, it's just like you are in that space, and it's just admirable, and it's something that I look to be. And even the success, not even, but also the success that you've built for yourself, you know, as a female, as a woman of color, it's just, it's admirable, and you possess a lot. And not, I'm not talking about externally, but internally, you possess a lot of what I hope to become as a woman. So one, thank you for being an example for so many women, seriously. And I would say, or I guess my question would be, and it's crazy because you've already spoken so much life into me. So thank you. Thank you for that. But based on this conversation, what do you feel may be a blind spot for me that you can help me get around before it becomes a blind spot?
Yeah. I don't know. You are so together. Right.
Oh, thank you.
I believe that before identifying some blind spots, like today, our conversation was outstanding. We probably need to talk just a little bit.
We're
going to talk, girl, because we got a little sis right here. We have to do more talking, but it would be not hypocritical, but it would be almost arrogant of me to say to you, just be careful. The higher level you reach in success, the more things that are not for you, you may begin to attract. Mm. But you've been in these spaces already, that around people and in environments that are at the height of success, what we all aspire to be. So you've been in environments that I've not ever been exposed to yet. Mm. But if I could say anything to you, it will be to stay true to who you are and stay committed to the vision that you have for yourself. And especially as women, once we hit 30 and then 35 and then 40 and 45, you're going to hear so much about what you should have done and who you should be and how you should be behaving because of an age and a status. You may even hear things about how you aren't worth as much as you were at one period in time. And the one thing that I want to assure you is that you're always worth everything, right?
Yeah.
You are always worth what you feel you're worth. And usually we're worth a whole lot more than what we actually feel we're worth. Mm. But not even just to stop there. If I can tell you anything, is that it gets better. Mm. So don't harp on anything, whether it's a career status, a financial status, a relationship status. The one thing that I can assure you is that if you take the time to search within and do the deep work and reach this absolute place of joy and happiness all by yourself, as a single person in your alone time, if you can reach that level of happiness, then life for you year after year, it just gets better. It gets better. It gets better. It gets better. I don't have any complaints. I have things that I hadn't done yet, but I don't have any complaints because life is really good.
I love that.
Yeah, for sure. I love this conversation so much. I love it. And I like to hold women that I sit on this sofa with. You've seen my episodes mm-hmm. before. I like to hold us accountable, right? Yeah. I want to hold you accountable for continuing to be impactful to the generations that are coming up behind you, because you got so many young girls and guys that are looking up to you as the blueprint as to what's supposed to happen. But I want you to hold my generation and even beyond that accountable too, because we're responsible for being the example for you.
Yeah.
If you could close us out with anything, what would you say?
The pressure. Just thank you. Just thank you. Thank you for living in your gift too. I think that, you know, I've personally grown so much listening to other people's stories and other people's conversations. And my hope is that whether it be a young girl or young guy that's listening to this, we spoke about so many things, from career to personal to all the things, that it inspires their life, whoever may be listening to this, and it ignites something in them. Because I think that because you're living in your gift and I'm living in my gift, we have the unique opportunity to sit here and talk about it and inspire someone else. So just thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening.
Absolutely. You guys know what to do. Comment wherever you're watching this video what your biggest takeaway was from this conversation. We went in so many different directions. I could talk to you literally for hours, okay? Comment what your biggest takeaway was. Also, you're going to find Tia's information wherever you're watching this video. It will be tagged. Make sure you tap in with her, because she is not only a dancer. She is an inspiration. She's a role model. She's a coach. She is a businesswoman. Most importantly, she is operating in her gift and in her purpose. And we can all learn something from that. I will see you on next week's episode of Full Transparency. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.